Hello, this is Michael Steed. I want in this podcast to have a look at the tax rules on pensions from April 2011. And just to be clear about that, that means that I won't be talking about the new employer responsibilities which start from April 2012. I'm dealing with those currently on the joint AAT-ATT conference that I'm helping to run. So I may come back to those early in the new year on a podcast just ready for April. But at the moment, as I said, I don't want to double up on things by covering those as well. So I'm going to restrict myself to talking about the changes from 2011. And I suppose in terms of how and when people take pensions, it's become a lot more flexible. There's a lot more freedom in the system. And a good example of that, the rule which said you had to have a compulsory annuity at the age of 75, has now gone from April 2011. And that means that if you want to go for that kind of flexible alternative, which is drawdown, then that's some good news as well. Now, the sort of mechanics of drawdown is a little bit beyond what I'm trying to do here. And in any event, I'm principally talking in this podcast about the tax angles. Right, let's remind ourselves then that the really major change in 2011 is the pretty significant drop in the annual allowance from £255,000 to £50,000. Now, obviously, as far as a lot of our AAT clients are concerned, that's not going to be relevant, but there will be people who will, that were the well act for, who will be affected by that. And I just want to be clear about the significance and the implications. And in any event, it's good background knowledge. Now, the bad news, therefore, is that the annual limit has dropped to £50,000. But there is some good news in there. In fact, there are two bits of good news. The first bit of good news is that the investors are going to benefit from tax relief at their highest marginal rate. That is, a basic rate taxpayer is going to get 20% tax relief, a normal higher rate taxpayer is going to get 40% relief, and a 50% additional rate taxpayer is going to get 50% tax relief. So that's the first bit of good news. The second bit of good news is that in order to help this along a bit, the legislation has reintroduced the carry forward rules. In other words, if you were eligible to make a contribution in a particular tax year and you were unable to do so, then you can carry the unused proportion of your limits forward to the next year. In fact, you can carry them forward a maximum of 3 years. And if you were to stand on the 6th of April 2011, what that in effect means, that assuming you've got enough earnings for this, and let's use 50,000 as the round number, if you hadn't made any contributions to your pensions in the prior 3 years, then as far as the year that you are just entering, that is the 11-12 tax year that starts on the 6th of April 2011, you would be entitled to make the current year, which is maximum of 50, assuming your earnings allow that much, and three lots of 50 again, that is the unused proportion brought forward. So that would give you, on that simple example, a maximum contribution of 200,000 in 2011-12. But just to be clear about that, the maximum, of course, is the highest of 3,600, which is that stakeholder pension job. And of course, that's relevant for people who don't have any earnings of their own, like carers, for example. So the higher of the 3,600 and your relevant earnings, very crudely, your salary or your self-employed profits in a particular year. So that's the first thing. So a little bit of good news in there. And I think from that, I would conclude that most AAT people that we act for, most of our clients, are going to be safely within those rules. And it's only going to be a few of them that are going to fall foul of those. The other good news is that all of the anti-avoidance rules in 2009-10 and 2010-11 are gone. And if you remember, there were some weird rules there which imposed 20% special annual allowance charges on people, principally high net worths, people earning over 130, who were trying to anticipate the changes to the rules in April 2011 and put large amounts into their pension fund. So the good news is that all of that has gone, the special annual allowance charge has gone. We're left, as far as I can see, with a much clearer picture from April 2011. Right, let's talk about mechanics. If you want to put £1,000 into your pension fund, then, of course, the basic way you do it is that you write out a cheque for £800, and then Revenue and Customs will make up the basic rate difference there, so you get £1,000 in your pension pot, assuming you've got the tax paid on that, and it's only going to cost you £800. But, of course, if you're a normal higher rate taxpayer, you can claim a further 20% tax rate, and you do that via your tax return. So, of course, £1,000 into your pension pot is only going to cost you £600. And the same logic for an additional rate taxpayer who pays tax at 30, they get the 20 at source, they claim the 30 through their tax return. And, of course, that sort of net gross rule also applies to the stakeholder pension. So those with no income, the classic carer here, can still contribute to a maximum of 3,600 gross, but in practice what that means is that you only have to put in 2,880, and Revenue and Customs will top up the 720, and that of course is widely known. Now, just looking forward to next year, and I'm still talking here about tax rules, the other big picture here, which will have very little impact on our on 99% of our clients, is the annual limit. And the annual limit is being reduced from 1.8 million in the current tax year to 1.5 million in the next tax year. That's from April 2012 onwards. But the good news is that the link between the 1.5/1.8 and the rules that cover, I love this phrase, trivial commutation, are being broken. Now, what the heck do I mean by that? This is what I mean by trivial commutation. Traditionally, and I mean by that up to April 2012, if the value of all your pension pots, I mean all of your pension pots, is below 1% of the lifetime limit, then you can withdraw all of these as a cash lump sum, which is quite good news. You've got to be at least 60. Now, because in the current year, the lifetime allowance is 1.8 million, it means that if you've got all of your pension pots, you know, you may have a little bit here and a little bit there, but in total, you can't take them separately, are worth less than 18,000 and you are over 60, then you can simply take it as a lump sum. Now, the lump sum will be the normal 25%, which will be tax-free, and then the remaining 75% will be taxed as your normal income, even though it's paid in a lump, and that's just added to your income column and taxed accordingly. Now, there's an odd benefit in here. If you've got a client, say, who's got a small pension fund, well under 18,000, and you decide not to go for trivial commutation, and therefore that person gets a very tiny pension out of there, that may have an adverse effect on pension credits if that person is entitled to pension credits. And if that's the case, then, you know, you need to have hopefully spotted the issue before, which is that you could have said, oh, no, it's actually worth going for trivial commutation, because then you don't jeopardise your pension tax credit as well. So that, I think, is quite an important point. Just looking across the piece a bit, what's happening about retirement ages? Well, the basic rule is, and I need to go back 1 year here to April 2010, minimum age at which personal pension benefits can be taken, of course, is 55 from April 2010. But the state pension retirement age is still 65 for men and 60 for women, although, of course, the girls are going to be disadvantaged because their retirement age is due to increase from 60 to 65, and that will depend upon when you were born, and that's happening gradually up until 2020. If you want some details on that, the YouGov website's actually quite good, so I do recommend that one. I confess I haven't looked on the Business Link website for that, but certainly YouGov is pretty good on that. Okay, I want to talk about overfunding. And this is one of the differences between overfunding in the 2 years going up to the new rules in April 2011, which admittedly only affect sort of higher earners, those on 130 and above. But I want to just talk about the generality of overfunding and the tax implications of that. Basically, you get, under the new rules, you get your maximum of earnings, but capped at £50,000. Now, if you overfund that, what actually happens? Well, a few years ago, all hell would have broken loose, and then the company would have sent you contributions back, and, you know, the revenue may have got hold of it, revenue as was, HMRC as is, and it would have been quite exciting with the letters flashing backwards and forwards. But the world now is a lot simpler. I mean, what it simply says is that you can pay in more than your limits, but you're not going to get any tax relief on the excess. And what I mean by that is that you will find yourself with tax charges on the excess just to ensure that there is no tax relief. So if you had earnings of 50 and you funded in 60 in a particular year, we're talking gross numbers here, then the £10,000 would be treated as your marginal income and you would have a tax charge on that at 40%. Just to ensure that you don't get the tax relief. Right, well, I think that's pretty much what I wanted to say about this. I mean, there are a few other questions like, you know, what if I'm in a company scheme and a personal scheme? Is that okay? Can I pay into those two at the same time? Well, yeah, absolutely. The old rule that said it was prohibited unless you earn less than £30,000 has all been scrapped. And basically, you can pay now into as many schemes as you want. But of course, your annual allowance is, as it were, spread over all of the schemes that you're paying into. And then if you've got an employer's final salary scheme, which are sort of as rare as you like these days, and if you've got one of those, you're jolly lucky indeed, then, you know, and they're paying into it, how does that calculate it? How's the employer contribution calculated? Well, what you do is you take the value of the scheme at the beginning of the year and then the value of the scheme, or the pension earned, if you like, at the end, and the difference between them is a sort of the increase in value, and that difference is multiplied by the multiplier, and that's currently 16, and then that's taken as the value of the contributions paid into the scheme in that year. So it's a slightly artificial way of doing that. Right, well, I think that's all I want to say about tax relief on pension schemes. As I said, we are currently doing the new employers' responsibilities at the joint event, but I'm not proposing to cover those now, but I will cover them in the new year, and I'll certainly have another run through them on the tax update series in the spring of 2012. And I certainly hope to see as many of you as possible. Always a joy, always a pleasure. Keep coming with your questions and your emails, and I'll look forward to seeing you soon. Cheerio.